Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Friday, the weekend is almost here, so no more Roman numeral homework until Monday. You can rest, Junior. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogunwanke and Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline now. You guys know what my day has been like. Today has been a day, and obviously we will update you on the latest regarding the civil suit involving Deshaun Watson, Texans quarterback, in about 10 minutes. But right now, this second, March Madness is going on. We're so excited. Even though my bracket has been busted, and I'm sure Junior's has been busted as well, as second seed Ohio State has lost to number 15 seed Oral Roberts. And by the way, Oral Roberts was a 16-point underdog, which means that win that they just earned over Ohio State is the largest NCAA tournament upset since UMBC upset Virginia, which is wild. But a top seed today did hold court. Baylor took down Hartford today in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And we pride ourselves on being a show, you know, that really comes from voices of the locker room. We're both, you know, two collegiate athletes, former athletes. So let's do this thing and head straight there to the locker room. In the middle of March Madness, we're delighted to be joined right now on the Goodyear Hotline by Davion Mitchell, Baylor point guard, AP All-American, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year in the building, fresh off of a win in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Davion, congratulations on the win. What does it feel like, you know, especially getting the win in the new Indiana, bubble?
It feels real good. Thank you for the congratulations, but it feels real good to win that game. We didn't take them lightly. I mean, as you see, you can see upsets are, it's going to be the whole March. So I'm glad my teammates came out and I came out fired up, ready to play and not playing to our level of competition and just dominating the whole game.
And Davion, that pressure of being a one seed, is that something that you guys talked about for that reason leading up to the game? What was that conversation like getting ready for a tournament after having to miss the entire tournament last season?
We knew that. I mean, anyone can beat us, man. I mean, anyone can get hot on any given night. So we knew we just had to take away guys, things that they love to do, make them go to their weakness. And everything came out the right way, and we got the dub.
Davion Mitchell joining us here on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, Baylor point guard who has led the way for this team. And Davion, you know, what is the experience like? Because this is the first time we're watching March Madness. For us, it's really cool because we're still seeing the games and the excitement and the feelings and the emotions. But is it different? How does it feel different than anything you've experienced before?
It definitely feels different. I mean, my freshman year when I went to the tournament with Auburn University, it was a crowd and the crowd got into the game. It was a lot of our fans, a lot of their fans. It's a different feeling this year because not that much people. I mean, our fans are still there, but it's not as like how it was back then. But it's definitely a great feeling to play out there. Bright lights. It's like the brightest lights ever that you'll ever see. Everyone's watching. Everyone's tuned into the game. It was a good feeling to be out there.
Davion, I cover college football. I played college football, and we heard from a lot of teams at the end of their seasons. They were exhausted. The process of going through testing, all the different protocols from these seasons that really add up when you get toward the end. It's been an abnormal season for you guys as well in college basketball. So how have you and the team been mentally as far as your status and having the energy and the drive at the end of the long season to still go out here and execute in tournament time?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely exhausting. I mean, all the COVID tests, even when the COVID pause, is definitely exhausting because you got to get your team back ready. I mean, you can't just have those days off. I mean, you're going to have those days off when you got to sit out because of COVID reasons, and then you got to come back and play a certain amount of games in a certain amount of days. So it starts to get exhausted. Then you got to practice. And then you still, on top of that, you got school. So it's like, it's very exhausting to be here. But I mean, we just got a great group of support system in Baylor and our tutors and our coaches helping us out, and I think we're getting through it pretty well.
And Davion, you guys have persevered to get through this point and also get a win, which is really amazing. But we listed your accolades. I mean, AP All-American, Defensive Player of the Year, the list keeps going on and on. What about your personal journey? Because this is a year where leadership really matters, and you're handling the rock. You're the point guard for the number one seed in your region.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, those are team awards, man. If we were losing, I probably wouldn't get recognized for all those things. So I'm just blessed to be on a really good team. A lot of guys that just have my back the whole way, keeping my head up high, keeping my head leveled. I mean, for me, I just think it's just a great feeling to be on this team, to be the point guard, taking care of the ball. The coaches trusting me and the players trusting me. So I think that's where I get my confidence from to play pretty well.
And that confidence played out very well on a big stage. Davion Mitchell with us. Him and Baylor get a first-round victory over Hartford, which is tough for a local guy here in Connecticut. We are excited for them to make the tournament run. But Davion, we're excited for you guys to keep going. Best of luck. Enjoy it as much as you can. I know it's been a long year, but you guys have a lot to be proud of and a lot of work to go still. So best of luck, all right?
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me, too.
Davion Mitchell, Baylor point guard, kind enough to join us after their first round win there. And Chiney, I think just reminding ourselves of that as we watch is probably as important as anything, is getting to this point has been such a physical and mental grind in ways that we could not possibly imagine. Even for us who went through this process, you knowing your sister went through the WNBA bubble process, I think there's still a disconnect because we haven't had to necessarily live it in this same way, especially as college athletes.
My goodness. Like today, waking up with everything going viral and the athletes in there just going in there trying to compete at a high level and still delivering. We just spoke to Davion Mitchell, Baylor point guard, who just got a win, a team that has been at the top of the standings this entire season. Dealing with pandemic, like you just feel for them. I'm like, I'm tired for them. I wasn't able to play in the WNBA bubble. And now there's another bubble that's happening to try to protect these athletes so that we can protect that one shining moment, that crown jewel of the season. And, you know, I just really feel for them because they are persevering through a lot. But it's been really interesting to me, Junior, because when you look at this landscape, it's funny. Once you go out there, you're competing at a high level and you just sort of revert to what you know. But still, there's so much change happening around you. And I think it'll be interesting to see how these teams react to such change. And again, remember, aren't there like teams that are on standby? Like we're dealing with a March Madness like no other.
We are. There are so many outliers and differences. You heard Davion mention the crowds and the disparity there. But I just think of all the things you have to do leading up to that. Because you're right. Once you step out there, I mean, hell, I played in a fall minor league football league at one point, the FXFL. Like, I was playing in front of no crowds out there. And at some point, you step between the lines and you're playing your sport again. Like, you don't have time to think about those surrounding features in the same way. But I think about them now having to go back to their hotel. And we heard from Jordan Cornette, our ACC basketball analyst yesterday, that you have guys you can't leave the floor of your hotel there, that there's all these restrictions and limitations on movement when you get to that. And so the challenge for coaches and for teams and for leaders is going to be, all right, how do we manage that time in between to not only get our legs back, but to stay engaged with all those limitations and focused on the challenge? Because we saw today, if you sleep at the wheel for a second, a 15 is knocking off a 2.
Facts. And remember when we're dealing with the Super Bowl and our nervous anxiety about like, hey, in this period, if anyone tests positive for COVID, they're not playing in the Super Bowl. It's those same strict guidelines like, hey, guys, we got to be safe, smart, and listen to these rules, because if anyone tests positive, there goes the chances of us winning a national title after we worked so hard this season. And so, yeah, I'm hoping the benefits come from it in the sense that maybe they're rested. They're not having to deal so much with travel and flying from destination to destination. We saw, was it Tom Brady that said, hey, I've never watched so much video in my life. I feel so prepared. And how did that work out? Again, he's like a different case too, but it's going to be hopefully, you know, finding the good things in this experience. If I'm an athlete, that's what I'm holding on to.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's still, and you can certainly speak to this from a personal level, but March Madness always kind of felt like a bubble when I talked to the basketball players at Notre Dame about it, because you're on the road, you're doing all your schoolwork away from there, you're together. It's like one big, long, eternal road trip. Now, normally after the first round, you would get to come back to campus. So that's a big difference here mentally that everyone's going to have to rock with now.
The only time when I was in the Pac-12 tournament and when I'd go to March Madness that I'd see my parents was probably heading like to the bus on the way to the game. And on the way to the game, I'm like, oh, got to see y'all. Wish me luck. Like all that type of stuff. Other than that, I am my coaches. I am my teammates. And so you are in a bubble, but now we're dealing with bubbles with limited resources and just a different vibe and a different feel and a different environment. So I think these athletes definitely need to be commended, even though Ohio State's that have lost. And like, I know they probably feel bad right now. Everyone comes out winner for dealing with this season.
It's a great reminder. There's a difference between tunnel vision and actually feeling like you're stuck in the tunnel. And that's been the difference in this season. So we'll keep you updated. Plenty more from March Madness as it rolls along into this weekend. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. But coming up next, four more lawsuits, civil lawsuits, filed against Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. That total is now up to seven. What this means and what we heard earlier today from the lawyer representing the women in these cases. That's next. Chinay Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN Plus.
Chinay Angola Jr., the podcast.
Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chinay Ogwumike and Mike Golick Jr. Now, we just covered the men's tournament with one of the best players in the country. I'm speaking of Davion Mitchell of Baylor, who just got a win over Hartford in the NCAA tournament. And now switching gears to the women's tournament, it was crystal clear that the NCAA made a mistake, a major mistake regarding facilities. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes. But right now, it has really been a long week dominated by NFL free agency. Today, we had Juju Smith-Schuster re-signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But when it comes to the National Football League, there's obviously been a story that has come to the top of everyone's feeds. And that happened, you know, today, again, when we were right before our show, got word that there was a presser involving Houston attorney Tony Busby, who said today that there are currently, regarding, you know, a Deshaun Watson, Houston Texans quarterback, seven current civil lawsuits alleging sexual harassment have been filed against Deshaun Watson. His firm, Tony Busby, is now representing 12 women, and they are talking to an additional 10 women. Now, the first lawsuit came from a woman who met with Deshaun allegedly at her home last March. The second lawsuit claimed that in August, Watson paid to have a woman fly from Atlanta to give him a massage at a hotel. And all these involve sexual harassment claims. And then the third lawsuit allegedly claims that Deshaun Watson forced the massage therapist to perform oral sex on him during a session in December of 2020. Now, here's Tony Busby, Houston attorney who is representing these women, in his presser on the lawsuits against Deshaun Watson.
Chinay Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and Tony Busby said that they are going to be filing an additional five lawsuits, which would bring the total number of cases filed civil lawsuits up to 12, again, alleging inappropriate conduct and sexual assault. And Chinay, that number continuing to climb. When we talked a couple of days ago, we had seen this was growing, but now hearing 10 additional women, 22 in total, that could potentially be filing suits right now. We already know the NFL has said they're looking into this, but now this has to be something I'd imagine that halts a lot, if any, if all, trade conversation around Deshaun Watson right now, because I don't know if you're a team or you can look at this and think about the football part at all while we're waiting for this to get resolved.
Of course. And we know that the public is all following this information. And as more women are coming into the fold, again, this is civil, a civil lawsuit, right? As more women are coming into the folds, it's going to alienate probably a lot of fans out there if these conversations are happening with your team, certain teams, and it seems insensitive to the experiences of what potentially these women who might be victims, you know, once we get the information, who might be victims are saying. And that actually is one of the worst things, because it continues the cycle of silencing women. So I think putting things on pause is probably the best thing that you can do. I know that, you know, we all love his talents as a football player, but there are some bigger things in life that need to be addressed before we even get to sports. And this is one of those.
This is one of those things. And this is also where it's important, like you said, to avoid any of the victim blaming that tends to go on in these situations here, aligning people with power the way we tend to sometimes do wrongly with athletes in this spot, because we think we know them, because we think we understand what their character is, and we let that govern the way that we think about these situations. We've got to approach it and remind ourselves that when it comes to Deshaun Watson personally, we don't all personally know him. We know what we see, but we can't let that color the way that we're going to interpret this as it comes in right now, because a lot of people are going to run wild with some pretty inappropriate stuff with all of this, because Deshaun Watson has been embroiled in a very heated back and forth with the Houston Texans. A lot of people are going to start to assume certain things. And Tony Busby, again, the attorney representing these women, talked in his press conference about having no connection to the Texans or the McNair family. And so you heard that the Houston Police Department now contacting Busby, and the things that are going to transpire from here on out, again, require us to look at this situation and not put someone on a pedestal because of the job they have, because of what we think we've seen and what we've known about them. We have got to be open to whatever this is going to tell us and respond accordingly, Chinee, because this is where we get in trouble way too often in the past and put women coming forward in a position where they don't feel like they can tell the truth. And that's not what's going to help this process get resolved the way it should, which is the way that rewards whatever the truth is here.
Exactly. And, you know, again, this is very difficult for a lot of people probably to comprehend based on what we have received information of with our eyeballs, watching football, a super talented guy, reading stories and being a part of the Houston community that has dealt with a lot of struggles with our environment and, you know, just the natural disasters that we've had. And we know exactly what happens with the athletes that have stepped up in that time. Like, sometimes that can blur us from what is right in front of us. And so that is awaiting information and making sure that we, you know, see each other as human beings here, whether you are the star quarterback or whether you are a woman alleging something, we have to treat them with the same level of equality when it comes to attention. When someone says something is wrong, we need to listen and try to address the situation. And hopefully, you know, this is why it's good that we're hearing all different parties. Houston Police Department, we have the attorney on both sides, we have the NFL monitoring, and also the Houston Texans saying that they have, you know, they're monitoring the situation as well. So at least that's what I take away, is everyone's eyeballs are on, hopefully, so that they can send the message that this will be handled accordingly.
And unfortunately, this is something we keep saying. We'll keep giving you the information as we get it, and the information keeps changing very quickly and growing in a way that's very disappointing and disheartening right now based on what we are talking about. So we will keep you up to date on that. But as we continue to talk about issues that have come up in the last couple of days, exhausting issues, albeit in a very different form and fashion, the NCAA tournament is getting going on the men's side yesterday and today, on the women's side starting this weekend. But it's already started off on the wrong foot. Why the women's tournament is being talked about for all the wrong reasons, and why we need only look up at the top of this entire structure to figure out why. Next, here, Chinee Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinee Angola Jr., the podcast.
Wow, why'd you do that to me? That read, Jay Will, why'd you do that to me? March Madness, we're so excited, but guess what? This next topic is all about March Sadness. It's Chinee Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogwumike holding it down. Mike Golick Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, I say it's March Sadness because I'm so excited. We already got a big upset. We are already able to speak to one of the great players in the landscape of the NCAA, Davion Mitchell of Baylor, who just got a huge win. And I'm already hit with March Sadness, Jr., because the women's tournament starts this weekend, and we are already off to a wild start. Now, Jesus, take the wheel. Here we go. Players and coaches from several women's college basketball teams put the NCAA on blast yesterday, because there are videos, obviously, and photos highlighting the dramatically different weight room facilities for men and women competing in the March Madness tournament. And we all saw this through the lens of Allie Kirshner, who is Stanford, my school's sports performance coach. She posted a photo comparing the two facilities between the men's tournament and the women's tournament. We also got a great video from Sedona Prince, who highlighted the issues here, Oregon Ducks women's basketball player, by the way, calling on the NCAA and March Madness overall to address it. Now, if you're watching ESPN Plus, but I'll describe it right here, the men's facilities had everything that you need. I mean, rows and rows and rows of top-tier strength and conditioning materials, all of the machines. Now, the women's tournament, their weight site, mind you, this is for all teams, had one standing small rack of dumbbells and a few yoga mats. And mind you, the dumbbells, the heaviest one was 30 pounds, which I worked out yesterday and I was using like 35, 36, and I was doing multiple reps, 36, 35, 40, and I was doing multiple reps in my workouts. And so this was an insult. It's huge. And the crazy thing is, obviously, this was the weight room that the videos had gone viral comparing the men's and the women's, but there are other posts circulating also accusing the NCAA of providing for the women's tournament lower quality food, lower quality merchandise, because the swag bags that you saw comparing the men's and women's swag bags, it was just a few things for the women and a whole bunch of things for the men. That's what we've been seeing all over social media. And now, obviously, based on this public pushback, the NCAA Vice President of Women's Basketball, Lynn Holzman, came out with a statement saying this, quote, "We acknowledge that some of the amenities teams would typically have access to have not been as available inside the controlled environment. In part, this is due to the limited space, and the original plan was to expand the workout area once additional space was available later in the tournament. However, we want to be responsive to the needs of the participating teams, and we're actively working to enhance existing resources," and it goes on and on. Now, we saw in Sedona Prince's video that there was a lot of space to have weights in a weight room. And so that's why we were all extremely confused. That is why we were all extremely indignant seeing this, because these women are top tier athletes. Why are we, this is an institution that says we treat all student athletes the same, right? They're not pros. Like we try to make sure that everyone gets equitable treatment. Clearly they dropped the ball on this. Now, Junior, I mean, you know where I stand on this here on Tenango Junior on ESPN Radio. You know exactly where I stand on this. I've said it once on The Jump. I've said it on SportsCenter. I said it earlier here. If you missed what I said in full, but Junior, I want your opinion of this, because as someone that has celebrated and uplifted women in sports, you went to Notre Dame, where we always talk about football, but normally, like, we also highlight the Fighting Irish women's basketball team that has made great strides in the women's game. When you saw these videos, what did you think?
It was sad, but unfortunately predictable based on the way the NCAA tends to approach a lot of these things. It's a reminder, and I think a really sad one, that the inconsistency we've seen, and you brought this up earlier, is not just from sexists who watch this and view the women's game and always try and belittle it because they have no interest in it. This is the institution that's supposed to abide by all these things. Showing, I mean, you hear the quotes from these people, Janae, and it's just beyond me how they thought this was going to work out. Like, based on what we're seeing here, because you'd have to think we were all idiots. You would have to think the players were all idiots to hear them say, this isn't a money issue, this is a space issue. When they can look and see, I mean, they're the ones living in this bubble and can see all that space around there. Did you think they weren't going to notice? Did you think they weren't going to care? But I can tell you damn sure what they thought. They're still operating on old software because they didn't think you were going to speak on it either. That's the cool part about all this stuff, is now we got kids that are not afraid to speak out. And I shouldn't even use the word kids. We got young men and women who are not afraid to speak out. They're not afraid of repercussions because they've realized the people above them don't know how to operate in this sphere. They're not as nimble as you are. You're starting to get organized, and all of that is a threat. And so now they know anytime something is sideways in here, it's not going to be handled behind closed doors, because they've learned they can't trust you to do that. They can't trust leadership because you either don't care enough or you're incompetent enough in this instance. And so they put it out on video because they know we'll all run with it. They know everyone they see is going to be on their side in all this. And so I applaud that aspect of it, that now we got players that are smart enough to know. Now, you don't have to trust them, because 99% of the time their trust doesn't mean a damn bit of nothing right now.
You know what's so funny about this? So I've been all the way in on women's college basketball. I mean, my coach, Tara Vanderveer, is the all-time winningest coach, which I hate that word. It's so hard to say, winningest. All-time winningest coach in women's college basketball history. That history happened when I was able to have a nice social distance conversation with Stanford when they came and played UCLA. They're like, man, I don't know how we're doing it. Like, we have superheroes that are trying to make sure that the season goes on. And I will tell you this, they got limited support from the NCAA to make sure they make it to March. But, you know, the NCAA prioritized, we got to get everyone to March because this is our big moneymaker, which is true. But I know that it took a lot of resources that the university had to just muster. And like, we're talking about schools that scrap sports. These are friends of the athletes that are competing, that scrap sports, just trying to make sure that we can have some kind of sports for them to compete in, knowing that their future is on the line. Like, I just saw this and I was like, wow, that's our strength and performance and conditioning coach that is exposing. We are the school that does not ruffle feathers.
Right.
And
like, you're one of the haves in all of this, Janae. That's the other part of this. You talk about Notre Dame, Stanford. These are the programs that are the haves financially, exactly, resource-wise in this conversation.
And we've seen schools like Duke women's basketball that have said, you know what, we're going to stop because mental health is important. So we finally get to the finish line, and what happens? You're disrespected like this. Like, oh, we didn't prioritize making sure, like, I know this is hard to assemble a bubble and to get everyone together. It's a big feat. But realistically, you knew this was coming. We've been having these conversations with bubbles for a long time, almost a year now. And this is what we keep saying. How in the world is the NCAA so slow to realize that they need to be prepared for the moments that matter most like this? Because clearly you care about them, but not when it comes to the private way that we treat these athletes. And that is the hypocrisy that I can't stand. And so, yeah, like, and the worst thing is like, oh yeah, women, like, oh, if there's going to be an oversight, it's going to be like the women and they don't need weights. Like, what? For who? For what? Like, I don't understand that. These are top tier athletes that, guess what? No matter what you say, it's March Madness. We tune in. We love that. And we've got it on our network. So your girl was feeling some type of way today. I've tried to say it a million times. If you missed my full conversation, listen to the Chenea and Gola Jr. podcast. I'm glad that even the people that normally hate are saying, man, this is not it. And that should just be a reminder that the NCAA needs to start being proactive and treating these athletes exactly for who they are. The top tier athletes that go and earn you money. And guess what? They deserve a piece of that as well. Or at least some better dumbbells.
Yeah. And stop, you know, putting them in your Twitter posts saying, oh, remember, I mean, the NCAA's women's basketball account tweeted out 11 days ago, you belong, you matter here. Like, stop making it fun PR stuff for you and start making it the way that you back this stuff up. Because the easiest way, Chenea, to also find the people that are always very apparent, quite frankly, it shouldn't be that hard to find it to begin with, in these conversations, looks like this. Because I sat yesterday and watched this and I said, all right, we've been having a lot of these pay-for-play conversations here. And a lot of the opponents of that, a lot of the opponents of name, image, and likeness have said, well, if you start doing this, what's going to happen to women's sports women's here? Sports. You're going to kill off all those. So I'm looking at that crowd expecting you to rise up right now to see what's happening to women's basketball and go ahead and make sure that this is now a cause that you are championing. I feel like I'm going to be waiting a really long bleeping time for that crew to show up right now. So you guys get to shut up forever now. That's what you get to do, because this is a clear exposing of the people who are never in this for the right reasons to begin with. So, But it's, you know, Chenea, again, I see the frustration. I have felt the frustration with you all show.
Sorry.
And I can't,
You've been my punching bag.
Listen, I can't imagine how maddening it is to live it day to day, because it's one thing for me to look here from someone who played one of the big time revenue sports in college football that's always going to get priority in these spots by the way the system works. But it's another to live this and to see some of these same things popping up in 21 when we all think we're focusing on this stuff more. That's the I can't imagine how maddening it is. So we'll keep shouting it from the rooftops here, and athletes will keep shaming these institutions enough that maybe eventually they will realize, hey, maybe if we include these athletes in the process, things can get better quickly. Coming up next, we will try and enjoy what's left of our Friday around here.
Right?
We will try and
Thank
keep
you.
Some great energy going into the weekend, because someone has a big announcement on this show coming up tomorrow, and we got to make sure the execution is on point.
Yes.
We will get to that next. Chenea and Gola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenea and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Let's go. It's too damn Friday. We made it to the weekend. I'm so excited. And let the games begin. And boy, oh boy, have them. I mean, those games have already been super spicy. It's Chenea and Gola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chenea Ogwumike and Mike Gola Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Now, the madness has begun. A little bit of sadness, but it's okay. We're going to focus on the bigger picture here. The madness has begun, and we had some great guests joining us today on Chenea and Gola Jr. that highlighted that. We had Sean Farnham, ESPN college basketball analyst, formerly player of UCLA. And we also had Davion Mitchell join us today of Baylor, the point guard, AP All-American Defensive Player of the Year. Both of their teams, respectively, won. UCLA won in the play-in game over Michigan State. And Baylor just beat Hartford. So the tournament is off and running. And I know that the biggest shock of the day is that everybody's brackets are already busted because Ohio State lost to Oral Roberts in overtime, which means, what was it, Junior? 95% of brackets are gone.
95% of brackets are now busted after that. 95% of brackets had Ohio State going along in this tournament. And so, Chenea and I are going to give you our already very beat up Final Fours and talk about the biggest announcement this show has coming up as we keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chenea and Gola Jr.
Because, Chenea, as we keep that same energy, which is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life, you and I filled out our brackets, the bracket challenge on ESPN.com, the Chenea and Gola Jr. group. We have had Ohio State upset by 15 seed Oral Roberts. We have had Oregon State beat the absolute hell out of Tennessee.
Let's go. Wayne Tinkle and company. Woohoo, Oregon State. Let's go.
So our final fours as they sit right now, Chiné, my final four, I had Illinois, Michigan, Gonzaga, and I really went out on the limb with the two seed Ohio State making it out of the South region. So now that goes by the wayside. Illinois, my eventual national champion. Chiné, final four national champion. Who you got?
Gonzaga, Michigan, Baylor, and Illinois. So I had Ohio State. Yeah, I had Ohio State. Where did I go? Yeah, they lost to Baylor.
Who do you have winning at all? I had it.
Oh, no, Gonzaga. I want the first time since IU, Bob Knight's team, Indiana, undefeated. That's the last time it happened in the NCAA tournament. I want Gonzaga to make history again because this is a team that has been, unfortunately, in the periphery. We talk about Pac-12 after dark, you know, West Coast after dark. I need Gonzaga to win. They deserve it.
They do deserve it. I appreciate, Chiné, that you went all four one seeds in the Final Four and the one overall seed winning the tournament here at this point in time.
Wow, you're trying to play my bracket? All right.
Just a little bit. Now, keeping that same energy, Chiné, did you see this quote from Dan Campbell, the head coach of the Detroit Lions, who came out here talking about one of their recent player acquisitions during this NFL free agent period? Michael Brockers, the former Los Angeles Rams defensive tackle, was brought to the Detroit Lions with the quarterback and Jared Goff that he said was, upgraded when they acquired Matthew Stafford in Los Angeles before he was traded. But Dan Campbell was talking about Michael Brockers and said, quote, "He is one of the few in the NFL today who can wield the hammer of Thor." Chiné, I don't know if Detroit's going to be good, but I know the quotes are going to be good, and I know those team meetings in that place are going to be insane.
What did he say last time?
He was biting kneecaps.
Oh, legs, biting kneecaps. That's what it was. I've gotten to that far in the Marvel Universe. I know Thor and the hammer of Thor, and I stand for Thor for obvious reasons.
I was going to say, I think we all understand the obvious reasons there. He is amazing. Chiné Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. But we got a big thing we need to get to here. Chris Mitchell's working with us, helping produce on the show today.
Yeah.
And Chris Mitchell has himself a big weekend. Forget March Madness. You got a gender reveal coming up tomorrow. So
how are
we doing this here? You guys aren't blowing anything up, right?
No, we're not blowing anything up. We're going to let all the family members, we're going to put one of those cornhole sets like 30 feet away and just throw. And if whoever gets it in will then be able to dump a can of washable paint off of a ladder onto my head with the color.
Wow.
Whether it's a boy or a girl. Which, by the way, my son's at home right now. My wife just texted me, said he thinks Golic Jr. is daddy right now. Just...
Oh!
I can say, for anyone not watching on ESPN Plus, Chris Mitch is one of the many in the bald bearded brotherhood. So
yes,
this is understandable.
Right,
we all look
bearded.
The same.
So, oh, that's so. So let's people just are calling all you daddy. Go. How do you feel, Junior?
Oh.
Someone's calling you daddy.
It's incredible. I feel even more secure, though, Chiné, in knowing what a great guy Chris Mitch is, that he is actively rooting for a daughter right now. So fingers crossed for a happy and healthy baby.
Pink.
Best of luck. We're rooting for pink for you, Chris. We're going to enjoy it. It's going to be fun. That's an exciting addition to this weekend. Enjoy March Madness this weekend.
Yes.
Enjoy the start of the women's tournament on Sunday this weekend. You're going to catch that on ESPN.
Stanford.
Spain and Fitz up next. Kelsey Riggs filling in.
Thanks for listening to Chiné and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.